It is News Talk. It's the Anton Savage Show.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Matt Cooper, broadcaster, host of The Last Word on Today FM and author of 765,000 books, something along those lines. And Francis Fitzgerald, former Taoiseach and former MEP. A lot to discuss. We start with the story on the front page of The Mail on Sunday saying, "We won't get within an ass's roar of targets." So, Valerie, you will remember there was a discussion last year about whether we were going to have 30,000 houses, or whether we had 30,000, or whether we had 40,000.
Yeah.
Those numbers now both look wonderful compared to 723 houses started last month.
Yeah, we won't get within an ass's roar of the targets. Actually, this is written with very colourful language, with all sorts of quotes from unnamed sources and all the rest of it. But yes, there's a panic apparently in the cabinet. Now, I don't know why the cabinet would be panicking. Bigger things have happened and they don't actually panic. But however,
this is supposed to be their most important thing that they are focusing on, and it's going completely pear-shaped. That would be reasons for panic, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know that the cabinet panics very much anyway. Like, they're just not panicky people, are they? But yeah, they're very worried about this because a cabinet source told the Mail on Sunday, "Were it not for tariffs and Trump, we would be in a full-scale crisis. The fundamentals are not changing when it comes to housing. If anything, they're getting worse." And they are getting worse. But they're trying to put it into this background of international trade wars and all the rest of it. So I suppose we're at this stage heading for excuses as to how they're going to explain this next year. Like, it wasn't our fault, it was Trump's fault. Really, he was behind it. But the slowdown is very bad. I mean, getting the go ahead on these houses, the houses we need so desperately, is not really helping.
And just to put those figures in context, the John Drennan writing that the 723 homes lodged last month, the start notices for those, is an 85% drop from the 4,909 figure for the same period last year.
Yeah, it's a huge drop. And Michael Lowry, he's wrote into this as well, and he says that the Dáil's speaking rights and Trump have disguised the reality that housing is the open wound of the government. But I mean, there's an awful lot of people out there worried sick about these figures, because if they don't get the start, and that's what we're talking about, you know, finding the site, putting in the essentials, utilities and all the rest of it. If we don't do that this year, if we're going to fall back this year, or, you know, they're not going to happen for the next few years. And that puts the housing target really, really low, much worse than it has been reported on even.
Well, if you want to get in touch, 53106 at a cost of 30 cent, or 087 1400 106 on WhatsApp. Francis, is there any way that you can see that the government can rationalise or excuse a precipitous drop like that?
Well, I think there's probably one explanation that explains it to some degree, is that the exemption from the developers levy was in place last March. So I think you did see a very high number there. But I mean, I'm glad Valerie has the confidence that the cabinet aren't panicking. I don't think they're panicking, but actually it is a total crisis and it needs absolute attention. And there is a new housing plan that has to be in place by, I think, the summer, because the other one is finished. And Valerie is right. If the government don't get their act together on housing this year, it's going to bode very well for the following years and for the elections, you know, very far down the line, of course. But then there's the big issue about the water supply. So you need accelerated action in all of these infrastructural projects. And what we see in the Mail is Jack Chambers talking about this new section and infrastructure task force that he's putting together in his department. Now, Simon Harris wanted a new Department of Infrastructure, which I believe should have been established, given that this is where the big blocks are, because we stopped building infrastructure really after the crash. And I see another article, I think it's in the Indo, about the need for more visas for construction workers. So this is multifaceted.
And you made reference to the Irish Water thing. That's their chair, Gerry Grant, effectively saying that they are 30 years behind in what they need to do and can't connect all the houses, even if they wanted to.
Well, I always remember Michael Noonan saying in Cabinet, you know, the problems we're going to have to deal with now are the problems of success, in the sense that if you have the accelerated economic growth, if you've more people coming to work and live in the country, then you have far more demands on infrastructure. And I mean, this is the total crisis in Ireland right now, quite apart from the international issues, which are enormous as well.
You use the phrase "right now." Surely this crisis has been the same now for nearly a decade. I think Micheál Martin was describing it as a housing crisis or emergency in 2015, wasn't he?
I'm not sure he said that in 2015, but it was quite obvious back in the end of 2014 that this was going to happen. Now, maybe not as big an issue as it subsequently became, but I think it was still a hangover back then. The government was financially still hamstrung by what had happened in the property crash and was almost afraid to be seen to take on the issue of housing. Irish Water, just as an example, my understanding is that Irish Water will be, if it hasn't already been, amongst the objectors to planning permissions, because it'll be saying we actually can't actually supply water to these new developments. There was government money put aside for Irish Water last year, extra funding. And essentially then the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform insisted that the money be applied to paying down debt rather than actually making investment in things that actually had to be done. This, I know 2029 is a long way away, but I think the government is, a lot of the cabinet members are in a state of near panic in relation to this, because they realise the big issue by the time 2029 comes around is going to be, did you build enough houses and apartments for people to live in? There is a target of 300,000. They're going to get, as to use the phrase on the front page of the Mail on Sunday, they won't get within an ass's roar of these targets. They are going into reverse. They didn't build the 40,000 last year. They got barely over 30,000. They might do well to get to 30,000 again this year. And we said they, obviously this is subcontracted out to the private sector. There is one Trump element to it, and that's the issue of capital. And there's a major issue as to who's going to fund all this. No matter what some people may say, the state cannot fund the building of 30,000 homes a year. Not unless we all want to be paying taxes of 70 or 80%. It just isn't going to happen. Private capital is required. There is a reluctance on the part of the government, for reasons I don't understand, to try and tap into the enormous amount of savings that there is in the country to try and put together something there, which would allow for people's money to be put to good practical use in building new houses and apartments. And
as in some kind of construction bond or something?
Yeah, something like that. They do it in France. They have various ways of doing this where the state actually encourages people to invest in housing bonds and they get a regular income out of it, better than they would get by leaving their money on deposit in the bank. And that's partially way. The other thing is getting more of what are hated, the vultures or the cuckoos that they're called. But the reality is that foreign investment is what has built many of the apartment blocks, particularly in Dublin and in other parts of the country, these housing. If you don't have that money, and this is where the Trump effect is, American capital has not been invested outside of America at present. And for our own reasons, we've put issues in relation to taxes and rents and all the rest of it. That foreign money is not coming into Ireland now. And if that foreign money doesn't come in, we are not going to get the apartments
built. It seems to me that there's a whole of government crisis response needed, cross-departmental. I mean, you can have this infrastructural task force in one department, but this is cross.
Now, sorry, can I just be clear on the infrastructural task force?
It needs to be elevated to more of a crisis level than it is.
Let's clarify for everybody what we're talking about in relation to that task force. So this is various state departments. So Irish Water, Air Grid, ESB, Transport Infrastructure Ireland. They're going to take, I assume, the senior staff or some senior staff seconded onto a task force to have a think, do strategic planning.
Look, have meetings.
Yeah, look, Francis brings up an interesting point there. A few years ago, you're messing me with books I've written, but the one that I did, Who Really Owns Ireland, a couple of years ago, was about who has basically taken over the land and the construction since we've had the crash. And one of the people that I interviewed for it was now the mayor of Limerick, John Moran, who, of course, was Secretary General of the Department of Finance in your time in government, Francis, and then went on to be the chair of the Land Development Agency. He left the Land Development Agency utterly frustrated by the lack of ambition he had, for particular in Limerick, for the Colbert station where the train station is, massive amount of land. And what the LDA decided to go for was a fraction of what actually could be done. So he made a really interesting point. He said there have been two existential crises that government has dealt with in this century. The financial crash 2008-2011, where they got the finger out and did everything. COVID, where again, they got the finger out and did everything that needed to be done. And the same attention has not been paid to housing.
It's quite extraordinary that it hasn't. I find this almost mysterious at this point, given that I know every government minister is committed to it. I know Simon Harris is. I'm sure Micheál Martin is. But something needs to happen at a structural level across government to bring it to the crisis response that's needed. I've no doubt about that. Because even if you take this task force, it still has to get its findings passed by cabinet, right? So it still has to be elevated up for decision making across government. And I think that's what's needed.
We had a housing commission which reported last year, which had its report delayed. and put on a shelf and finally taken down and published, and then it's ignored. And now the government is coming back after the election going, maybe we need to be doing some of the things. So this is why I think everyone has to be utterly sceptical about the idea of commissions and committees and the rest of it. What we need is action rather than
talking. Action, it has to be said, Valerie, not just in relation to housing, but the Daily Mail or the Irish Mail on Sunday does an interesting two-page spread talking about delays in state projects generally. So offshore wind energy, the connection to the Shannon pipeline, the connection to Dublin Airport through Metrolink, the Land Development Agency and all that it's meant to do. When you look at the panoply of stuff that we're meant to be doing, it's hard to find anything that you would hold up as an exemplar as, well, if we just repeat that, we're doing well.
Yeah, I think what it's actually saying is that none of these state agencies have been planning properly for the future. And really, I mean, they should have been on the ball, because so many of these issues, infrastructures and all the rest of it, are all part of our European plans as well and parts of the EU planning for the whole of Europe. But it's amazing to think that all of this seems to be down the line, down the line. And I don't know why. I mean, maybe the term of our government is too short to deal with or something like that. I don't know. It's been going on for decades. This is not a new thing. But it's mind-boggling, really.
Valerie, I have to disagree with you about the issue of planning. We're brilliant at planning things. We've all sorts of plans in this country for anything. We're crap at implementation.
Yes,
right. Even about 4 years ago, there was an announcement made about building new hospitals, daycare hospitals, literally.
Children's hospital.
Well, the children's hospital is there, but where's the maternity hospital? Do you remember all the fuss that there was 4 or 5 years ago about getting the land? They still haven't laid the foundations for the children's hospital. There were state hospitals to allow for elective surgery proposed for Dublin, Cork and Galway. Right. Where are they? There are plans everywhere.
Let's face it, Matt. Authoritarian regimes are very good at delivering infrastructure, but we don't want that.
I'm not suggesting that. No, I joke.
Yeah. I mean, this is an issue in other countries as well. But I do take the point that it is about implementation. I do think we lost a number of years after the crash, and that, you know, I remember Leo saying, you know, we didn't realise we should just start spending again. The economy recovered quicker than we thought. So I think that's one aspect, plus all the growth and development. But let's look, the front page of the Indo, there's some plans here in relation to, you know, older people downsizing, that we need to provide for that as well. There's a new initiative from Kieran O'Donnell on that. That's part of the jigsaw. You also have John Cummins, the announcement he made about, you know, less planning needed if you were building something in your garden. I mean, these are initiatives that are interesting, but they don't deal with the macro issues we're talking about here. Yeah.
But I also think that, you know, we're looking too much at new builds. The country is coming down with empty convents, empty monasteries, main streets with empty shops, and we should be looking at them. I know there's planning involved and they'll tell you, oh, we have to go after the owners and we have to do this. Well, do it. I mean, if the cabinet wants to have a panic, then this would be the thing to panic over. Yeah, as you mentioned, COVID, they went into action like that. Why don't we do the same thing?
But, you know, I've no doubt the frustration we're expressing here is also felt by the cabinet. But the cabinet, you know, it's the government.
Can I ask you,
so they have to move on it.
I can't wrap my head around it. If you take Ordna Crusher as a case in point. Ordna Crusher, the first proposals by Siemens were 1924. It was built by 1929. It was supplying 80% of the country's electricity by 1935. How were we able to do that when we were skint in the 20s and not able now to build water connections?
Must have been less objections, one of the points.
Also, there would have been in those days, and this is sometimes forgotten, is that the state didn't really take on much of the financial responsibility for education and health. They left it to the religious orders at the time, so there was money, you know, left over for. That's why there was.
Still, we must be vastly wealthy now.
Oh, no, we are. No, I'm just giving you an example as to why some of these. No, don't forget, there were objections to electrification as well in the country, but they were written over because
I mean,
it was
complex. Let's not pretend any of this is simple. But the point is that if you want to solve a problem, you have to treat it as an absolute national crisis. And that has to be seen to be done by government. And as Matt says, you have to have the implementation plan. Now, I do believe there are implementation plans, but it's clearly not getting across to the public because we are reflecting, that upset that people feel about it.
You have to have the implementation plan, but you have to implement it. There are a long list of things. I mean, you look, for example, now, we're again debating the Metro, for example. And OK, you can say at times for Dublin Metro that it was the financial crisis stopped it. It should actually have been built 10 years before the financial crisis. It should have just been gone on with. I think in Cork, this week, there was the Cluas, as they're calling it, the Cork Lewis. The route was announced and the rest of it. And I'm looking and going, yeah, that route has been known for over 2 years. That's actually not new. So you're now asking for public consultation on something that could have started actually 2 years ago because you had the route in place. And we're told that we might get it by 2030. Good luck. Because, you know, again, things like the convention centre or conference centre for Cork, they actually did dig the foundation stone. Enda Kenny and Simon Coveney appeared in 2017 and said, here we are, this is going to be built for Cork. And now it's out again to see whether actually somebody else will do it and maybe done it at a different location.
There's another point as well, and that's kind of that political ambivalence you've got from some political parties in relation to public-private partnerships. And that has been a problem because obviously the future is in public-private partnerships. It's not going to be alone.
Is the state going to spend 20 to 30 billion on building the metro? Or would it be better off getting private capital, even if from overseas, to come in and fund 80 to 90% of it?
The thing that Francis mentioned earlier on, the story suggesting that the government is going to help elderly downsize in drive to tackle a housing crisis, this is going to be a get of a sketches story. And it suggests that essentially what is happening is that I think within urban areas, the figures are about 80% of houses are under-occupied. In other words, houses designed for entire families now have couples in them because the kids...
Not even couples, Anton. Sometimes it could be one person living in a 3 or 4 bedroom house. Valerie is going to go wild on this one, I think.
But I am actually, because, you know, we're talking here about people who are quite elderly, who've lived their lives, paid their taxes, bought a house they love, reared a family maybe, or just lived there themselves. We're not ever objecting, if you'll notice, to single people or a couple buying a home when they're young. We're talking about older people. And the reporting here is really annoying me because what it says is that the government is to encourage older people to move to smaller properties. How dare they? And in fact, I'm very glad to see inside the Independent a little bit of kickback on this because Nat O'Connor of Age Action Ireland, he said that older people are vexed with suggestions they should feel guilty for living in their own homes. Who is to say what use they have for an extra bedroom in their home? If family come to stay, people have a use for their home and shouldn't be put under any pressure to be forced out of it. It should be entirely voluntary. And that is very important, Matt, because if people want to stay in their own homes, who are we to say, oh no, we need your home for somebody else? We're not living in a dictatorship, as far as I know.
But Valerie, you're right. But what they say here, and I think it's important to look at this, it's a list of measures to increase housing options for older people, including right sizing. We all know there are so few options.
No, there's no such thing as right sizing. There really isn't.
Sorry, Valerie, there is. And this is what they do in Europe, right? We actually have...
Right for who?
So hold on. Can I just explain what they do in places, countries like Sweden? When they're building apartment blocks, and remember about at least 50% of the housing in Europe is public ownership. They don't have as high private ownership as we do here in Ireland, right? But when they build apartment blocks, they build them from 1 up to even 6 bedrooms, depending on the size. But you know what happens as the children start moving out? You are required to move back to a smaller apartment within the same complex.
Now, and there's a text that says, pushing the elderly out of the homes they paid for over a lifetime and still pay tax on is just plain robbery. Yeah. State inaction cannot be cited by shoving the elderly about the place.
I know, it has to
place.
Be choice. Let's
Nobody's
face.
Saying
to
Valerie's point,
have
if that's
the
your
options.
Garden, if that's
no,
your kitchen,
I'm
if that's
sorry.
Your house, if you've built it, if you've maintained it, if you love it, why should you even...
No,
you're making
you
the assumption that
no,
everyone has built
to.
It maintained
this is the thin end of the wedge. What we're talking about is the government encouraging older people to move out of their homes. Now, the other thing is...
to make them available to younger people who have families and who can't find places to live, who are living in inappropriate
Valerie,
accommodation,
no options
who are in
moment.
Cramped accommodation.
Yes, there are options.
I'm sorry, there is, Valerie, see, what's happening here, a large part of this is that people are living older, and that's great, people are living longer. In previous generations, houses became available as people were dying in their 70s and 80s to the next generation. Now, as people are living older, they're staying in these houses, and you've explained all the reasons why they want
to
stay.
But surely
your
house is not just a warehouse in which you dwell. It is something you have built your entire life, and you might want to hang on to it in your dotage.
Well, a lot of people move houses regularly during their life as well.
Some people want to downsize.
And there exactly, are no options. And there's no option. And that's exactly,
and that's
exactly
another
it.
Idea here is you are really talking about urban populations. Mm-hmm. Because what's happening in rural Ireland? What about farmers? Do we go along to an elderly farmer and say, time to get out and let another
and
family
actually,
take
over?
Actually,
a lot over. Of farmers are doing that. No, I know it in my own family.
Choice. Francis, if they do it from choice,
Valerie,
that's
we're talking
fine.
About
we're
choice.
Not talking about compulsion. This
it's
is
choice.
One of the problems.
No, we are.
Sir, we're,
no,
we're not.
Exactly. It's the same thing.
It's
because
not,
if you,
no,
it is not.
Valerie,
I'm
it
sorry.
Is not.
But it is. If you think about, okay, let's think about the pressure from families. Okay, mom's living in a house with four bedrooms and she doesn't need them anymore. Let's get mom into a nice little shed or a timber, whatever, in the garden and let the family take over, or let's sell the house and make some money and we'll.
It's all how you
house.
Tell it, Valerie.
No,
it's all
not.
How you tell it.
You're putting that idea out there and the wrong emphasis. Yes, if people want to downsize of their own accord,
Valerie.
That's fine.
That's what we're talking about.
If you look into the issues that are involved here, it's things like about having bridging finance available, because a lot of the problem that older people have is they can't sell their house unless there's something
okay,
else.
Okay, now hang on for a second, because Valerie, hang on for 1 second, because I have a text that agrees with you almost verbatim.
Oh, good.
Sorry, my mam lives in a 3-bedroom house and there was once 10 of us in that house. Government needs to build more, so we are currently punishing the old for government
Absolutely.
Mistakes.
And the other thing.
Nobody's punishing the old people because they're not
choice.
Been moved
This is
out.
About having
yes,
more options.
Okay. We're putting the idea out there that older people shouldn't be living in a big home and they are perfectly entitled to do that.
So do you think
you should not be taken up the wrong way. You're right about that, Valerie.
We want to. We're talking about freedom of choice and the way we treat older people, our attitude.
But hang on, Valerie, Matt's point is that you economically incentivise.
There is no choice at the moment.
No. I don't think we should be doing that. But if, yes, I like the idea of the bridging finance, if an older person has decided to build or move.
It's about choice.
And they need it. That, yes, but that's not coming through. The government is encouraging
people. Need to be careful about the message.
Is it societally fair if you have somebody living on their own in a 5-bedroom house or a 4-bedroom house, where you might have a family of parents and 3 children living in a 2-bedroom apartment? Is that fair for society?
About freeing
if
up housing.
To, it's about okay. freedom.
The younger family don't want to?
Hang on for a second. Unsurprisingly, a lot of reaction. Question asking, where does Matt want people to move to? What has he got in mind? A container? Maybe a cave? You did point out the apartments as a downsize. And
you know
what
the problem
that.
Is? Sometimes when you have apartment blocks and various, and this is a big issue in South Dublin, it's the very people who could be moving into these who object to the construction of these facilities because it might impact on their view.
All right. I know all
Way
the
to go on this one. Way to go.
We're going to stop them by. Okay. We will move to one of the odder stories of the weekend, which is the Freemasons have said sorry for having rented their hall to Tucker Carlson and Conor McGregor. Valerie, a sentence I didn't think I'd ever say.
I think this is an amazing story, but actually it shows very bad planning among the Freemasons, because they have this lovely building in Molesworth Street and they do rent for private events. They rent the building out. So, you know, they're holding their hands up now and saying, sorry, we didn't know this interview was going to take place here. It was rented by a media company. Now, whoever took the booking was really, you know, very remiss in not saying, what are you actually going to do with our hall? Are you having a hen party? Are you having a stag do? Are you having a booze up? Instead of that, they didn't ask them what it was for. Just a media company. Now, I wouldn't be trusting a media company. So in go Tucker Carlson and Conor McGregor. And now they've had to write to all their members. I don't know how many members they have, actually. That might be interesting.
I saw a figure of 19,000.
Oh, is it that many? Well, Philip A.J. Daly, the group's Grand Secretary, wrote and said, the Freemasons of Ireland categorically denies any association with the interviewer or interviewee and regrets that such an interview took place and it'll never happen again. We've taken steps to avoid a recurrence. That is hilarious.
Well, I'd be generous to them. I'd say they're just so out of touch, they had no idea who Conor McGregor or Tucker Carlson were.
Now, as I understand it, the Freemasons are, it is an entirely male club dedicated to sort of good works and honour and decency among men sort of stuff.
I have no idea.
This is my sort of rough understanding of it.
They obviously have a view of McGregor and the host.
They're a bit like the Knights of Columbanus. I mean, they don't admit women either.
Well, this is it. The one definite thing Freemasons, entirely male.
Yeah, which makes the whole thing of accommodating Conor McGregor all the worse, doesn't it?
I imagine for an organisation that is not known for loving publicity, they can't be delighted about where they have found themselves.
Very
this
abject
weekend.
Apology.
Isn't it?
They really are sorry that they.
I say the members are pretty mad.
You know, the members are probably furious.
It does bring us to that interview between, interview is a loose term, between McGregor and Tucker Carlson. It is described in one of the papers, Sunday Times says, inside the McGregor and MAGA meetup. Have you a sense, Matt, maybe I'll put this to you, what's the objective or the end game in that interaction between the two of them? Is it simply eyeballs or is there something more than that?
It would seem to me that it's just getting audience in the United States for Tucker Carlson, because I can't remember where I read it over the weekend, but it is a good point that there is nothing for, there is no chance of Conor McGregor becoming a presidential nominee or whatever. And Tucker Carlson must have had this explained to him. I mean, he's not stupid. I mean, he's quite cynical in the approach that he takes to developing audience. So he does a sham interview. So I'm not going to watch it. I have no interest in watching it back. But I've read the reports of what was said. And basically, you know, he's sort of feigning all sorts of amazement and indignation that McGregor can't get on the ballot paper. And somebody said, yeah, try and get on the ballot paper in the United States to become president. If you're not Republican or you're not Democrat, go through the system. What chance do you have? So, you know, go and have a look at what goes on in your own country first, Tucker, before you come over and start telling us.
Would you have any concerns, Francis, about this getting purchase?
I would be a little concerned, because when you read the piece in the Sunday Times about it, I mean, the presentation of Ireland is so dreadful. To think of that going out to whatever millions of his followers, talking about, you know, we're losing our Irishness, totally anti, you know, immigrant, migrant, totally Ireland isn't democratic. I mean, we're one of the most democratic countries in the world. So the presentation is, to my mind, is absolutely dreadful. And it is certainly not what, I don't know how mainstream he's considered. I mean, he's a niche kind of broadcaster,
huge audience.
So that's the millions. Well, and that's what worries me.
What you'd have to hope is, I think American tourism to Ireland is going to be down this year, largely because of the way the dollar is going. Also because they're becoming more insular in their approach. And I think an awful lot of the MAGA mob would never have been thinking about coming here anyway. But maybe the audience that McGregor and Carlson are appealing to are never going to be the types who would come here anyway. We are, I think, going to be dependent on two big American football games later in the year for bringing in a major American tourism. Both colleges football and then the NFL game. And maybe that there's a crossover to a degree in that audience. But I'm sure that when those people do come to Ireland, that I'd actually find it to be a much safer, much more enjoyable place than the dystopian image that Conor McGregor, for his own reasons, is trying to push.
And the other side, of course, is the number of European travellers to the States is falling dramatically.
Well, this is interesting. The FT during the week had an analysis of the tourism numbers to the States generally, and it is showing that pretty much all of the European countries are significantly down. Ireland is down, both down in J1s and everything else, and Canada has given up on travel to America entirely.
Yeah, it's having
the Canadians
major.
Are so furious. I was in Ottawa just a few weeks ago at this Gender Equality Advisory Council I'm at, and honestly the extraordinary thing that's happened in Canada is Trump has united the entire country, which is not known for its unity between the provinces.
And this actually is one of the things that could trigger a recession in the United States. The amount of money that's not coming in now with tourists is going to impact so much on hospitality.
It's significant.
It's much more significant than you think. And if you think of things like the theme parks, you're regular in Florida, you know, the people who head off down to Orlando and you know, all these shopping trips to New York and stuff, those numbers go down. The Americans feel it. They will take the hit from this big time.
And the transatlantic flights, it's reported, are all having a slowdown, which is a huge market.
Which might take away some of the problems at Dublin Airport and the passenger numbers.
You mentioned the gender advisory. Put back on your former hat of being chairperson of the Women's Council back in the day, Francis, because I want your take on the exercise in what Katy Perry described as putting the ass in astronaut, where a group of women were flown to above the Karman line by Jeff Bezos on the Blue Odyssey. It seems to have created the most extraordinary backlash, both against billionaires and quasi-fake feminism. What's your take?
I suppose where I come from in this is I say, look, there's a huge issue about women in technology. We're going backwards rather than forwards. The jobs in the future are going to be in technology. Is it going to do anything for, you know, highlighting this issue, making sure more women go into science and, you know, have a future in these areas? It's, I mean, look, it's showtime, isn't it? I mean, that's what these guys want.
Is it counterproductive showtime from a feminist perspective? Yeah. Does it set the cause of women's independence, liberation and relevance in STEM backwards?
I'm not sure about that, but it doesn't do anything positive for it.
The Real Housewives of Outer Space. That's about as relevant
yeah.
as it was.
I mean, it's the glamour. It makes it sound so kind of, you know, it's so easy, it's so glamorous, we just sort of go off, you know.
But it's all about money. Yeah. I mean, they went
of
up
course.
For how many minutes were they?
11
minutes.
Just barely outside Earth's atmosphere, and it cost millions. I mean, it is the most ridiculous, farcical trip I've ever seen, and it's all about money, big business.
Ego.
It's celebrity.
Ego,
it's
absolutely.
Celebrity.
And you know something? That puts space travel back. Serious space travel, I think, is fantastic. And as you say, Frances, you know, it ignites all of this for young people as well. Careers in the space industry, in science
it
and so on.
It makes it look as if it's more accessible than it is, especially for women. It ain't accessible. That's the reality.
Absolutely.
When you look at what's happening in STEM subjects and women in science and technology. So it doesn't quite capture the real issues.
I reluctant to read these out in case the debate kicks off again, but bear with me. Sorry, lads, I can't believe this right-sizing BS. I'm not moving out of my oversized house. The builders and banks facilitated by the government of the day robbed me for at the height of the boom, only to bail out said builders and banks at a further cost to me when they hit the fan after they lost control. No, let them get their finger out and do what they promised to do and build houses and apartments that they campaigned on and assured us they would all build year on year. I am not bailing them out again. Another, I'm bidding on a two-bed first home next year, and now you want tens of thousands of ultra cash rich pensioners to enter that limited market by downsizing. I nearly have my 30k saved. That'll be me screwed, and then in block caps build more houses.
That's sorry, you do both. You build more houses.
No, Matt.
Starting again.
Matt, these are discerning listeners.
We're warned.
Hang on a minute. The only thing that'll calm this down is the Freemasons. Text to say.
Thank you.
The Freemasons. This is interesting. The Freemasons are the biggest provider of free dyslexia services in the USA. My daughter received 2 years of twice weekly reading tuition. And we are forever grateful. And I think they do actually raise, and in Ireland as well, raise hundreds of thousands of euro for charity,
oh,
which again may explain why they were so irked about the discovery of that hall rental that they had got involved in. I live in a 3-bed in Dublin 8. I'm only too happy to downsize if there was enough decent 1-bed apartments around so I can choose in the area that I live. But they're all pokey with no adequate storage space, and I would have an annual management fee to pay for the pokey apartment.
Very relevant.
Very good point.
Guys, thank you so much. Matt Cooper, host of The Last Word on Today FM and author of many books, including the particularly relevant Who Owns and Who Runs Ireland, if you want to read it. Valerie Cox, author and journalist, and Frances Fitzgerald, former Taoiseach and MEP. Thank you all very much. We'll be back with the news after this break.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.